Genesis chapter number 27, if you want to turn there, and we are working our way through this book, and finished Abraham in chapters 12 through 25 and verse 8, and we've been on Isaac. We outlined it, of course, creation, chapters 1 through 11, and then Chosen, chapters 12 through 50, and by that, the men that God chose, again, for the Jewish people to be begun, but ultimately the line of Christ. And we saw Abraham, the progenitor, and now Isaac, the pilgrim. Under Isaac's life, we saw Isaac and his boys in chapter 25. We saw Isaac and his behavior in chapter 26. In chapter 27, Isaac and his blessing. Esau wanted to get his father's blessing. Ultimately, it was already made known to Isaac that the elder would serve the younger. It was already known to them that Jacob was the one whom God had chosen for this purpose. And Esau had given Jacob his birthright for a bowl of soup. Now he wants to get his father's blessing upon his life. And we saw, first of all, in the beginning of this chapter, in verses 1 through 4, a couple weeks ago, an unspiritual father in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I'm not going to preach to that again, but Isaac should have known. The blessing was for Jacob, but Isaac had decided he was going to do what he wanted to do. And he was become a very carnal person. You see him living by his flesh and according to his flesh and doing what he wanted to do. And the works of the flesh, the Bible says, are contrary to the fruit of the Spirit. And we cannot live in the works of the flesh and how what makes us feel good and expect the blessings of God. So Isaac wanted this, and he wanted to do it despite what God had said, and we saw his carnality and what he wanted, and he was just a carnal person at this point in his life, unfortunately. And so we saw a unspiritual father, and this is where we left off, verse number 5, an unsubmissive wife. An unsubmissive wife in verses 5 through 10. Let's start reading there in Genesis chapter 27, verse number 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death. Now Isaac thought he was dying. We know that he's going to live 43 more years. But he thought he was dying and assumed so and wanted to give this blessing. And as he gives Esau these instructions to go out one last meal before he dies, and he said, bring me that venison that you are so good at hunting. Cook it just the way you know I like it. I will eat it and give you a blessing. And so Rebekah hears this, and she tells Jacob, as we just read, to go and to get a kid out of the flock, and she would prepare it. They would deceive Isaac and be able to get this blessing. It's really sad that in chapter, again, I mentioned this last time, look in chapter number 24 real quick, and in verse number 67, Genesis 24 and in verse number 67, when Isaac met Rebekah, it says, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. I believe he loved Rebekah. The sad thing is, you never read of that Again, you don't see them enjoying a good relationship. Really from the point after he lied about her being a sister and things. But what you do read about, sadly, back in our text, what he did love is he loved the venison. He loved, based upon in chapter 27 and verse number 4, you can see this real quick, and make me savory meat such as I love. In chapter number 25, again, just worth noting here as we get into the story, in chapter 25 and verse number 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. Listen to me, parents, one more time. Your children should not feel loved because of what they do. They should feel loved because of who they are. God loves us for who we are. We are his children. We're his child. You got saved, then you are a child of God. But Isaac taught his son Esau a very performance-based love. And it's contrasted, sadly, even in this verse, Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. She loved Jacob because he was Jacob. And God loves us because he chose to love us. We don't do anything to earn God's love. He loved us while we were yet sinners. He loved us before the foundation of the world. He's always loved us. But you see the change in Isaac's life. He become very sensual based upon how he felt. I believe Rebekah, I say an unsubmissive wife, I believe she's a strong lady. I believe that she had a wonderful heart, and I just think that family got messed up. And listen to me, every family can get messed up. We start playing favorites. We quit listening to God. We quit. Again, Isaac started having issues when he quit seeking God's counsel. And I say it one more time. I don't want to sound like a repeated record, but I've counseled a whole lot of people in my ministry thus far, be it for sin problems, be it family problems, rebellious children problem, but in 100%, one or both has put away their walk with God. We must walk in the Spirit. If we don't, we're asking for problems. Isaac quit seeking God's direction. The family became divided. His wife and he, their relationship was strained. Their children and who they chose to marry was strained. There was this constant pushback. And again, I believe that when we are introduced to Rebekah, I believe she's a picture. I believe Isaac is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the heavenly bridegroom. And I believe Rebekah is a picture of the Lord's churches. And how she was chosen out of that family and brought to be the bride. What happened with Rebekah? She became distracted. She became to seek what she wanted. She enjoyed the position of being the bride, but she became very self-centered and self-focused on what she wanted for her and the one she loved. I believe she still can be a picture of the Lord's churches. We better be careful that in these last days we don't get so focused on what we want and what makes us happy that we put aside what we know is what God's will is. And I believe Rebekah is still a picture, unfortunately, of what we see in a lot of the Lord's churches. But in any case, I want you to see, let's look at these verses. In verse 5, 6, and 7, you see Rebekah's decision. She wants to outsmart her husband. She may even, and again, just keep in the back of your mind as you think with me on this, I believe she's still a picture of the Lord's churches, that what can happen when we become self-centered and self-focused, even as a church. I'm sure in her own way, she probably said, well, I mean, it's God's will that you receive this blessing. You can twist Scripture to fulfill your own flesh. she began to say, well, I'm sure, you know, this is what God would want, right? Listen, you do not have to step out of bounds of God's plan to be able to perform God's will. Stay faithful to this book. You say, well, what would have happened if Esau would have came back? God was able to drive every deer 1,000 miles away. He's God. But she wanted to take things in her own hands. She wanted to fix it. She wanted to take care of it. The church, I hope you'll get this tonight. We've been given a simple plan. We've been given instructions. We have everything we need in God's Word. We don't need to tweak it. We don't need to change it. We don't need to find a better way. We don't need to help God. God's way works. We just need to do it. Just do it. I say that, encourage people, be a witness this week. I reached out to Brother Sean out in Russia. I told Brother Sean, it's getting warmer over there. Use that term loosely, but it's getting warmer. And I told him, I said, Brother Sean, I said, I want you every day, at least 5 days a week, to do evangelism for an hour. And he said, I know, we're not allowed to go pass out tracts, right? Can't go stand on a street corner and preach. That won't work out, will it, Matthew, right? So, not a good plan, right? He said, well, what do I do? I said, take a walk every day, same path. Go sit in the same coffee shop every day. Just build relationships with people. And they've had a good week last week. And the Lord already began to bless that. But I want to encourage, listen, you say, yes, Elam should do that. Yes, you should do that too. I should do that too. God's way still works. Building relationships with people. But you see her decision to try to fix this herself, and then you see her deceit in verse 8, 9, and 10. Isaac was going to, let's read it real quick. Now therefore, my son, look what he, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. Isaac was going to determine everything, and we will see it in just a moment, by his flesh. Everything was what he saw, what he touched, what he would smell, what he would taste, and what he heard. Literally, his fleshly senses. That's how everything was being directed. And living according to the flesh never pays. In chapter 27, we'll jump ahead real quick, in verse number 44, look at this. Rebekah realizes, you know the end of the story, I would think, that Esau's mad. Esau's going to kill his brother. And so she tells Jacob, and go to Laban in verse 43, and in verse 44, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. Now this is all Rebekah's idea. You with me? Rebekah was going to fix it. Rebekah was going to get the blessing for her son. She deceived her husband. She led in all of this. And when it all happened, she goes, just, you'll go away for a few days. Everybody see that? Right. Sin will always cost you more than you think. Right. Who did Rebekah love? Very clearly, she loved Jacob. Everybody look at me. Who did she want to get the blessing? Jacob. Who did she do all this for? Who did she never see again? By the time he comes back, she's dead. Sometimes you can get what you want, but you'll lose the more precious. Be very careful. Be very careful. This few days became years. She would never see her son again as she loved. She would never see her grandsons. Stop and think about that. Sin cost her greatly. Let's continue. You see this unsubmissive wife. We saw an unspiritual father. And then I want you to see, thirdly, tonight, an unscrupulous brother. The main part of this chapter, verse 11 through 33. I want you to see a couple things. Look down with me real quick. First of all, an unscrupulous brother, we see Jacob's suspicious behavior. His suspicious behavior. In that, first of all, you see fear. Verse 11, 12, and 13. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look at his fear. Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to be to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. You see his fear. What did he fear? He feared he'd get caught. He feared that he would face wrath or a curse. What struck me as I studied this time is this. Catch what I'm about to say. Jacob did not care that he was a deceiver. He cared that he would seem to be a deceiver. You notice that? Look at verse 12. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. There's a difference there. Right. It didn't bother him that he was what he was doing. It bothered him how he would be perceived. You see, what's the point? The more I thought about that, I've been there, unfortunately, in my past, and I'm sure most of us have probably been through problems in this same area, and hopefully not tonight. But sometimes we want to do what we want to do. Sometimes we've determined we don't care what the Word of God says. We don't care what clearly the Scripture teaches, and we're going to do it anyways, but we don't want to be known as that. It should bother us that we do what's wrong, not whether you get caught or not. You see, he was only worried about the repercussions. He wasn't worried about the fact that he was doing what was wrong. I could give you 1,000 illustrations. People many times, and they'll go on, they think, I'm just getting away with it as long as no one doesn't know about it. God knows everything. You and I never hide anything from God. You see his fear, then you see his falsehood. In verses 14 down to verse number 27, his falsehood. What did he do? He dresses up like Esau. You know the story, right? Verse 14, he went and he fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son, and she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon his smooth of his neck, and she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. She got Jacob ready. Put on Esau's clothes so he'd smell like Esau. Took the skins of those kids and placed them upon her son's arms and the back of his neck so he'd be hairy like his brother. Jacob went along with all this. We're going to keep reading in a second to see all the lies that he's about to tell, but I do want to point out a biblical principle. You reap what you sow. Amen? See, what do you mean? You reap what you sow. Turn over to chapter number 37 real quick. Now, let's review here. Well, what did Jacob go get? He went and got kids, right? Baby goats. Whose clothes did he put on? Esau's. Different clothes. Clothing and the kids to deceive his father. In chapter number 37, look with me in verse number 31. Jacob's now dad. His son Joseph, And they took Joseph's what? Coat and killed a what? And dipped it, the coat, in the blood. And they went and deceived Jacob. Clothing and the kids, the baby goats. You reap what you sow. The very things that Jacob used was used on him down the road. Just found that interesting. Back in the text, just keep that in mind, right? The falsehoods. Let's go back to our text real quick. Look at the lies. How sad is this? Verse number 18, it came to his father and said, "My father," he said, "here am I, who art thou, my son?" Let's count the lies in two breaths, all right? And Jacob said unto his father, "I am," lie number one, "thy firstborn," two lies, "I have done according as thou hast badest me," three lies, "arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison," it wasn't venison, four lies, "that thy soul may bless me." Isaac said unto his son, "How is it thou hast found it so quickly?" And now this fifth lie, "because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Now he brought God into his lie. In two breaths, five lies. A liar began to speak these lies and falsehood. Isaac doubted everything he was hearing. He said, he brought him close so he could feel him. He brought him close so he could hear him. He brought him close so he could smell him. He tasted that venison. Carnal Isaac was living according to his feelings and his flesh. And that never pays off. You see Jacob's suspicious behavior. Then in verses 28 to 33, Jacob's stolen blessing. His stolen blessing. You see the content of the blessing. Look down there with me in verse number 28. Again, the verses that we skipped, Jacob brought him to him. He smelled him. He said, "Your voice sounds like Jacob's, but your hands feel like Esau's." And again, all five senses, you'll see them in those verses. Jacob stole the blessing, the content of the blessing. Verse 28, "Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." The content of the blessing, he bestowed upon him prosperity, power, principality, and protection. What did he bless him with? Prosperity, that there in verse number 28, that the fatness of the earth, power, let people serve thee, principality, nations bow down to thee, and God's protection, let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. This blessing was a powerful thing. And God had already said Jacob would do these things. But Isaac, living in his flesh, tried to do it otherwise, wanted to give it to Esau, and Jacob had to deceive. You see the content of the blessing, then you see the confirmation of the blessing. Verses 30 down to verse number 33. It came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from hunting. You see the confirmation of the blessing. He left immediately. I wrote down verse number 30. You see the satisfaction with the blessing. He knew he got what he wanted, so he left. But then you see in verse number 31, the seeking of a blessing. And he also had made savory meat and brought it to his father, and he said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. Esau wanted this blessing. In my mind, I just picture this whole thing going on. We're going to read it. Isaac begins to shake physically. Becomes frightened. What has happened? Esau, you can see the shock in my mind on his face. He wants this blessing, but he realizes in verse 32 and 33, he's stolen blessing. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, "Who art thou?" He said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before? Thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." He said, "Someone was just here. I blessed them, and I can't take that back." He got the blessing. You see this unscrupulous son, and then I close with this. The rest of the chapter, you see an unsaved son. An unsaved son. Verse 34 and 35, you see Esau's remorse. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." When the Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews that Esau would seek, but there would be, no repentance. No one could go back. Esau's going to blame his brother, and rightfully so with this blessing. But Esau blames him also that he stole my birthright. No, Esau gave it away. No one stole it from him. This remorse overwhelms him. But listen, when we choose to do wrong, when we choose to live in the flesh, when we choose to put away what's right, when we choose to live according to how we want to live, you praise God, we live in a day. Live in a time, and we can repent. God will forgive us. But you cannot go back and undo what's been done. That's why I love hearing testimonies, and we love sharing testimonies. And I love when someone gets up and shares that, that the wretched life that they were living and whatever the vice was, but God saved them. God delivered them from that. To God be the glory. That's a wonderful testimony. But I love even more when I hear the testimony of someone who says, "I was raised in church. God saved me. I turned to Christ, and I've never been down this path." Praise God for that. Because everyone in this room were saved. Everyone has a profession of faith. Praise the Lord for that. There are some in this room that God delivered them out of a lot of junk. And every one of them would love. They would have had to go down that path. Because sin's terrible. Fact, young people, you can go away from God and you can get right down the road. That is a fact. But it's a lie to think that everything that I did won't have an impact in my life. The way of the transgressor is hard. We will reap what we sow. Sin leaves scars. Don't go down that path. Esau had a lot of remorse, but he couldn't go back and change anything. You see Esau's resentment in verse 36 and 37. He said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright." No. Esau gave it to him for a bowl of soup. "And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" Esau, his birthright was given away, and he's hurt. Esau would be filled with resentment. I've preached on this, and I'm still studying it. Brother Harris is here. I'll assign him to work on it with me tonight. So, resentment is one thing in the Word of God that when people get eat up with resentment, you don't see a whole lot of success stories after that. Resentment destroys a person. It just eats you from the inside out. You see, Esau was hurt. He was. Family hurt him. They did. They did. But he did not have to allow resentment to settle in his life. Jesus taught this in the New Testament. You can't help it that offenses will come. Offenses will come. But everybody look at me, catch this next statement. But you don't have to take offense. There's a difference there. You can't help that offenses will come. But you and I don't have to take offense. A lot of times living in a sin-cursed world, we cannot help what happens to us. But whatever happened to us does not determine what we become in life. It's what you choose to do with what has happened to you. Amen. I'm not making light of anything that's happened, especially in this world. We live in a wicked world where bad things happen. Bad things have happened to me. Bad things have happened to you. I'd venture to say we've all had people very close to us who have hurt us. I'd venture to say that there have been things that have occurred in our life that we wish had never had happened. We cannot help that offenses will come, but you and I do not have to take offense. Once we allow that, we'll become bitter and resentment sets into our life. And I can't find someone who got to this stage and became resentful towards authority, resentful towards everything that had happened to them, resentful towards God, that they're able to put it away. And I only say it to say this: if that's setting up in your life, you're heading towards a very dangerous place to be. You say, well, they hurt. I get it. But God says, I'll give you grace. God reaches to us grace. Our salvation's, for by grace are you saved through what?
Faith.
How did you receive the grace of God for salvation?
Faith.
How do you receive the grace of God so that you don't become bitter and resentful?
Faith.
Faith in what?
That God, you will allow me to forgive this person. You will allow me to put this aside. Can't change what happened. But I can accept God's grace and not allow any act to determine what I become. I can choose to receive God's grace in my life by faith. By faith. That's how we receive the grace of God. You see, resentment began to eat up his life. You see Esau's remorse, Esau's resentment, and then Esau's request in verse 38 to 40. I want a blessing. Esau said to his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, and he did give him a blessing. You notice these three things with this blessing. There would be wealth, there would be war, but there would be no eternal worth. Did you catch that? Nothing eternal. Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. There was wealth, there was war, but there was nothing eternal. All the world has to offer you is money, fightings, and temporary. Esau's request, and we close with Esau's resolve. Verse 41 down to verse 46. Esau now wants to murder his brother. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence.
that call never came.
Right.
Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? What happened? We close. Now, Esau wants to commit murder. Now, Esau wants to be violent. He hated him. He wanted to hurt him. He would hunt him down. It's a really sad story. As you see in this home at the conclusion of this man who once, Isaac, was a glorious picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we find him, unfortunately, being a picture of a carnal Christian. I know we preached on it this morning, but I reiterate tonight, it can happen to you and me too. We better be careful. What do we see as a result of all this? A very weak father. What do we see? We just read in verse 46, a very weary mom. She's tired. She doesn't want to go on. We see a very wrathful brother, wanting to hurt people. We see a wondering brother who's just running to get away from a situation. And I read all that to say that is the casualty of carnality. Make those statements and I'll say them one more time, because that's where, when we put aside seeking God, when we have no walk with God, when we just want to please our flesh and we just do it all for family, and did they love their sons? They did. An incorrect way. Do you see mom and dad walking close together seeking the counsel of God? Nope. See a lot of whispers. And in this carnal family, it leaves. And I only say it again because it happens today with weak fathers, weary moms, wrathful brothers, and wondering brothers. Just getting away. In this last week, well, I'll say last 2 weeks, I've seen all four. Dads who just give up. Just not worth it. It's too hard. Just let them be. Moms who are just overwhelmed. Say, I'd rather die than to go on. I've seen children that are angry, so mad and resentful at their family or parents or church or God, and others who are just saying, I can't wait to get away from this. That's not God's plan for any family in this church. That's not what God wants. But that's where carnality leads. May God help us. Let's stay close to him.